Welcome to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We're continuing the week's program on God's economy. My guest today is Sharon Epps. Sharon, welcome back.
Thank you. It's been fun.
I wanted to start the program today reading from our late co-founder Larry Burkett's book, The Coming Economic Earthquake. Sharon, he wrote these words in 1991. It's hard to believe. Larry said, "It is my assumption that some event will initiate a massive spending cutback on the part of consumers. This could be a stock market crisis or an oil embargo, but more likely it will be the collapse of several megabanks, insurance companies, or large corporations." And he said, "Remember what was mentioned earlier. There is no way to determine the timing so far in advance." Now, he was talking years ago. He said, "But these events could occur in the mid-90s or some latter part of the decade. It's always possible that some calamity could spark a panic. Now, the important thing to remember is that no economy can sustain the debt growth cycle indefinitely. One day, we'll have to pay the price." And Sharon, I believe that's why it's so important that we help our listeners in the body of Christ to understand the traps of living in man's economy in this debt cycle and get out of it and learn to live in God's economy.
You know, we certainly don't know what will happen in man's economy, but we can rest assured in God's economy that He's in control. And I think one of the things we've seen in this past year is that people have been shocked, but my concern is that that shock is wearing off and people are returning to old habits rather than using this opportunity to form new habits and discover how to live in God's economy.
Well, and we've said one of the very practical ways to apply the truth of living in God's economy is first to be spiritually renewed, to be on this journey of growing closer to the Lord and following His ways and not man's ways. And then after that's occurred, you learn to be financially transformed. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
It helps us understand how to steward wisely in all the decisions that we make, whether it's regarding making our money, how we manage it, or how we use it to fulfill His purposes.
Well, this week we've covered a lot of ground and we've talked about some charts and some lists and some steps. And all of those are available on the web. If our listeners will go to crown.org, they can get copies of all of this for your personal benefit as well as serving others to help them understand this message.
We encourage you to go for additional tools. Our library has articles on each of the topics that we've talked about that will be helpful as well.
But when we come back, we're going to talk about the next step in stewarding wisely, and that's how we manage money. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Want to learn how to make and manage money God's way, but you don't have time to read a book or participate in a Bible study? Then check out The Journey to True Financial Freedom, a live seminar presented by Crown Financial Ministries. It's fast-paced and life-changing. Invest just one day of your time in a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, and you can learn God's financial principles and practical ways to apply them for a lifetime. A trained instructor will teach you how to set priorities, develop a spending plan, eliminate debt, and more. You'll gain a deeper understanding of stewardship and faithfulness. If you're interested in attending a Journey to True Financial Freedom seminar, go to crown.org to find one in your area. Or call 1-800-722-1976 and ask one of our friendly consultants to locate one for you. That's 800-722-1976 or online at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Our guest today is Sharon Epps. Sharon serves as the Executive Vice President of Content and Media for Crown Financial Ministries. And Sharon, you and I have been talking all week about this topic of God's economy. And we've said that it's the divine integration of the mystery of God's lordship over our lives, our stewardship, and our generosity. And today we're going to talk about the next component of stewardship. Now, we've said stewardship is learning to use God's resources to accomplish God's mission. And that involves three steps: how you make money, that God expects us to work and to earn a living and to take care of our families. We have to have an income. And He wants to be involved in that. And He wants to be glorified in that process. And when we align with His purposes, we maximize our talents and gifts for His glory. But we also have to be very wise in how we manage the money that we have. And there are several steps in that process.
There are several things involved, and I think the main thing to remember when we are trying to steward wisely and make good decisions about managing our money is that decisions made ahead of time clear the way. They simplify our lives, and we've been talking about how rushed we are and how difficult it is to make decisions. And planning ahead helps us simplify, make decisions when we're not in the heat of the moment, and ultimately remove the distractions that keep us from drawing close to Christ. That's why this manage area is so important.
Well, a very simple principle about being a wise steward is to learn to live on less than you earn.
You know, our friend Ron Blue says that all the time, that if you will spend less than you earn over a long period of time, you'll be in pretty good financial shape.
Well, doesn't that seem ironic that that's hard to do for people in our culture?
Well, you know, everything in our culture, we talk about the epic battle between man's economy and God's economy. Everything in our culture screams at us to spend more. We go through our day with challenges everywhere we look to spend more on ourselves, on our families, and on the things we think that are important.
You know, I had a student in one of my small groups years ago that said his understanding of being a wise steward with God's resources is that 10% belonged to God. The first 10% was God's, and the other 140% was his.
That is so true. Not just 90, but 140.
Because we live beyond our means. We had a get-it-now mentality, and we live beyond our means. Sharon, I read recently that 60% of the people in this country now wish they were living on a budget, but they're only wishing they were living on a budget.
Rather than making it happen.
Rather than doing it. And it has negative connotations in the past, but I think it's going to come into favor as times continue to get tough.
I think it really will. And it helps us to develop that discipline. So you want to just jump into the steps?
Well, the first step is to have a spending plan. That's a very popular way to say that you want to spend money on purpose. You want to be intentional about your spending.
You know, in developing that plan, one of the most challenging things I see is that we have failed to learn to differentiate between our needs and our wants and our desires. And in fact, I was just visiting with someone this last week who said, you know, if it's something that you want, then it's just a want. But if it's something I want, I think it's a need. And I think that's true in so many people in our society, that we have access to credit that allows us to get really whatever we want. We have not been able to figure out what true needs are.
Well, another step is after you've identified your needs and your wants, then you look at what unnecessary expenses can you reduce? How can you change your lifestyle? And I like to put that in two categories. When I'm working with people one-on-one, I ask them to identify all of their fixed expenses, the things that they're obligated to pay that you can't change. So that's usually your mortgage. That's usually maybe a car payment. That's some of your credit expenses. And then I say everything else is variable, meaning you can adjust it up or down and make changes right now so that you can begin to attack lowering some of those fixed expenses.
You can. One of the things about variable, though, that I see often people make mistakes with is they take those variable expenses to zero and say, we'll just do without clothing, or we'll do without
groceries,
gifts, or we'll do without. And what happens when in the heat of the moment they don't do without? So it's really critical that as we reduce those unnecessary expenses, we balance them and we allow each area of needed expense to have some amount in it.
Well, and then once you identified what's fixed and what's variable, then you have to decide what can we do to reduce our outgo so that the first step is living beneath your means. And sometimes we have to make decisions like getting rid of a mobile phone plan, getting rid of a car that you don't need, and learning to shop wisely to maybe to reduce the largest expense you have. Possibly it's groceries or eating out. But you have to identify it. And sometimes people just need help. And that's one of the very practical outreaches that we have here at Crown.
In fact, we have online money map coaches that are available even today to meet with you and help you sort through and give you counsel on areas where you may need to cut back or look at rearranging your expenses so that you can fit within a balanced budget.
You know, in this step of developing a written plan and learning to live within your means, I highly suggest that you set up a time to celebrate, because it's a monumental accomplishment to get beneath your means, to get your spending in control, and to have a budget. And that's the time to celebrate. And maybe it's simple where you say, we're going to go out to eat at our favorite place, but something that really motivates you so that you'll stay on track and get it done.
Absolutely. We all have to have milestones of progress. And that's why we're really talking about that this week, is these are the incremental steps that you can make to discover and live in God's economy. And it's really important while we're making these lifestyle adjustments that we learn to make sometimes the hard decisions. We mentioned the variable expenses, but let's talk about the fixed expenses for a minute, because sometimes that tough decision of downsizing our home or trading our newer car for a used car is what we have to do in order to get within our means.
Well, Sharon, it's so liberating to live beneath your means, to have margin in your monthly cash flow, that I believe you need to do whatever is necessary to make that happen. Even if you have to sell the house, both cars, whatever it takes, get in a situation where your outgo is not greater than your income.
It relieves the stress. And as we mentioned yesterday, once you have that spiritual transformation, making those hard decisions becomes a lot easier to do because you understand the reason behind it.
Well, the second step in stewarding wisely and managing what you have is to monitor your progress. And it's a simple step that people forget, because it doesn't just happen automatically. You have to keep track of what you're doing on a daily basis.
And we recommend that even annually you stop and draw a line in the sand and develop a personal financial statement that compares where you are this time this year from where you were last year.
Well, we have more practical steps when we come back of managing your money in God's economy. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Benton.
The price of higher education has skyrocketed. According to a recent Gallup survey, families spend almost $15,000 per student per year of college, and many students often spend years just trying to decide which degree they need to pursue. Wouldn't it be better to help your child figure out what they need to study before they arrive on campus? You can, with the Career Direct Complete Guidance System from Crown Financial Ministries. Unlike other assessments that only examine one or two areas of career selection, Career Direct analyzes personality, interests, skills, and values. Your child can use it to explore career options and find the one God has uniquely gifted them for. Over 150,000 people of all ages have benefited from Career Direct. Check it out at careerdirectonline.org and get a free personality ID profile. That's careerdirectonline.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're unpacking the practical steps of managing your money wisely in God's economy. Sharon, when we left off, we had gone through step one and two. The first is to establish a written plan. Lay out a program where you're going to spend money on purpose. You know what you're going to spend, and you don't violate that plan. Then secondly, you monitor your progress. I recommend daily, weekly, monthly, and annually so that you're making progress towards a goal.
And you brought up the fact that you need to celebrate those milestones along the way. That's critically important to you.
The next step in managing what you have wisely is to get control of the use of credit. The one stumbling block that gets most people is we've had years of easy access to credit, and it's gotten out of control, and people have dug very deep holes. And as our late co-founder used to say, Larry Burkett, if you've dug a deep hole, stop digging.
Absolutely. The best way to get out of debt is to stop borrowing.
Yeah, and to learn to pay cash. The studies show that if you spend only cash, you actually spend far less when you go shopping than if you're used to using plastic when you make purchases.
Let me just give you a quick test, Chuck. I find that when I go to the store and I use cash, I might check my receipt a little bit more carefully. Do you ever have an experience like that?
Actually, I do. I also seem to check what I put in my shopping basket a little more closely before I get to the register. When I'm using plastic, I tend to think it's okay no matter how much I have in my basket. And going back to your first point about needs versus wants, using plastic, I usually get all my wants in the basket.
I think we all do. That's true.
Another step is to be sure that you're not upside down in your home. And I can't tell you how important that is right now. We're in a time when home values are shrinking. So if you have no equity built up in your home right now, you're in danger of going underwater, having what's called negative equity. And you need to attack that problem and to be sure that you have financial margin built up in the equity of your home, and if at all possible, to pay it off. And at a minimum, get out of an adjustable rate mortgage. That's absolutely essential with what we're facing right now.
That's true. In fact, I would even say if you're considering purchasing a home, we're asked very often if you should purchase a home in this market because of the great values that are out there. And sometimes that's true, but I would really encourage our listeners to be sure that they have a good, meaningful down payment. Even though there are lots of lending programs right now that don't require a meaningful down payment, because of where we are in the home market, it's critically important that we don't get upside down. And one of the ways to do that is to have a good down payment going in.
And also, don't rule out that you may become a permanent renter. There's nothing wrong with renting a place to live. Some people say, well, it's just throwing money down the drain. No, it's not. You have a place to live in exchange for that money. Now, you may not get the tax benefit, but the tax benefit is way overblown in this culture.
It is. And you know what? As we talk about not getting upside down in your home, let's don't leave out being upside down in your cars. That's a significant problem today as well. People have traded and traded and traded to the point that they actually owe more on their cars when they drive them off the lot than what they're really worth.
Well, along the same line, Sharon, I think it's important that you have a comprehensive plan to become debt-free. Now, we realize you can't do that overnight, but I've seen and I've observed with people that write us regularly that once you start a plan, you have no idea how quickly God may be able to get you completely out of debt. I've seen people set a 20-year goal or a 10-year goal and come back and say it got cut in half. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but it was accomplished much sooner than I ever dreamed was possible. But it doesn't happen until you make that commitment. You have to say, Lord, I want out of debt. I want liberated from man's economy, and I'm committed to that goal, and I need your help.
And you know, God sometimes does choose to accelerate the process, and then sometimes we have setbacks. And when we've got a written plan and we encounter a setback, we're able to get back up and get back on the plan. And so that's why it's so important, whether God's accelerating your debt repayment plan right now or whether you've experienced a setback, that you keep that focus on the goal.
Well, I think the next step is very, very important: to break an addiction to credit cards, to break an addiction to living beyond our means, to break an addiction to overspending. You have to learn to save money. And if you can't save money, you're always going to be addicted to paying down your credit cards to have just enough margin to cover some of your emergencies. So we recommend that you save at least $1,000. Develop a discipline to have $1,000 in your emergency fund while you're practicing the self-control to stop using your credit cards.
In fact, I like to call savings debt insurance, because when unexpected things occur, if you have savings, you can turn to them instead of your credit card to solve your problem.
Well, historically, we've said after you've learned to save $1,000 to save 1 month of your living expenses. People say, is that the gross or the net? I would say the gross amount. So if you need $5,000 a month to live on, save $5,000. And then begin to go beyond that, working towards 3 to 6 months of a safety net that's totally available to you. It's not invested in any assets. It's set aside. It's liquid and it's available. Liquidity is going to be the key into the future.
It really is. And in God's economy, those purposes for saving may be redirected for His glory and His use, but we have them there and we become available for His use.
Well, and we're not dependent on them for our security. We don't place our confidence in those savings. We simply have them them available to use for God's purposes. And then the final step, Sharon, is to develop a plan of how you're going to steward the surplus that will be created. Because the Lord says, with hard work and discipline, profit is created. And there will be an abundance if you follow this plan. But it's not simply to live a life of leisure. It's to be redirected to fulfill your purpose for what God put you here to do.
And, you know, planning ahead helps you make decisions that are well thought out and they line up with the purposes that God has for you.
Well, you're listening to Money Life, and today we're talking about living in God's economy and unpacking all the steps of stewarding wisely. That's how you make money, how you manage it, and how you use it to fulfill God's purposes. We're going to talk more about that when we come back.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. Today we're concluding our series on God's economy versus man's economy. And Sharon, there's one more step in stewarding wisely.
That is that you need to have a plan for what happens with what God's entrusted to you after you leave this earth.
You know, Sharon, there's an economic cycle that happens to so many people. It even happens to nations. And it starts with discipline and hard work. And according to the Word, all discipline and hard work will lead to an abundance. And if you don't have a plan to manage that abundance, it leads to the next step, which is indulgence.
Yes.
And once you get into indulgence, it leads to the next step, which is decay. And then you start completely over. And that cycle repeats itself in man's economy over and over and over. And my concern is it's going to happen in this country. We've been in a season of indulgence, and it's leading to decay. And we don't have to be trapped by that. If God's given us an abundance, those believers who have been diligent and worked hard, we do need to have a plan to manage that abundance well.
And it begins with everything else we talked about, spiritual transformation. And when we've been spiritually transformed, we see the assets God's entrusted to us differently. We see them available for God's use and for His purposes and for His glory. And so many of the things that advisors would tell us to do with our money may run contrary to what God calls us to do with our money.
Well, there may come a day when we're in the same situation as the early church. And Acts chapter 4 begins to be in play again, where people said, the most important thing I can do with the assets and the resources that I have is to contribute them to the advancement of the kingdom of God right now, not to put that off into the future. Barnabas went and sold his land. We don't know how long he had that land. It may have been in his family for generations, but he decided to steward it for the kingdom at that very moment. And that's how the church began to grow and survive. And that may be the season that we're entering into the future, where believers have to say, what's the most strategic, important use of whatever I have for God's kingdom and His glory?
The key is that you go before the Lord and ask Him to allow you to use what you have for His purposes.
And you know, Sharon, we didn't get into the final component and really one of the ultimate outcomes of living in God's economy, and that's the area of my generosity.
We look forward to exploring that more in the days to come, but our generosity is a key expression of how we let God's love flow through us to others.
Well, it is an expression of God's love, and it's certainly evident during times of economic crisis when we overcome the fear to hoard and to hang on to what God's given us, and we freely give just as the Lord gave to us. and reflect that we trust Him to be our provider more than anything that we hold in our bank accounts.
And, you know, we end as we begin, and that is ultimately, if we look to Him as our source, our director, and our counselor, we know where to go in God's economy.
Well, we hope you're being blessed by this series on God's economy. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be back again tomorrow.